Hello, Dental Online Trainers, and welcome to the Dental Online Training Sharecast. I'm your host, Dr. Dennis Hartley. Each month, we'll talk with dental experts who are doing amazing work in the world of dentistry. Also, occasionally, I'm going to throw in a few of my solo bonding sharecasts, where I share a little with you about what I've learned along the way during my career. So tune in the first Tuesday of every month to hear the latest episodes. Hello, Dental Online Trainers. Dr. Dennis Hartlieb here with you again for one of our little special sharecasts. As you know, I usually am bringing in guests and we're chatting, but I have my little separate solo casts, or my solo bonding sharecasts, as I call it, where I just give you some thoughts about what I'm doing in practice or other issues that may be on my mind. Well, this particular issue on my mind was generated in part by a good friend of mine, another podcaster, a great dentist, Alan Mead. And so rather me just speaking about it on my own, I wanted to share my thoughts with Alan because I'm very curious to get some of his thoughts in our conversation today. It's going to be about none other than social media and its influence on dentistry and us dentists. So Alan, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me. Thanks a lot. This is great.
You're used to saying welcome, and look, tables.
I was welcoming myself to your
the tables
podcast.
Have turned.
I like this. I've talked about social media on my podcast a lot of different times, and I haven't found a quote unquote solution to whatever problem it happens to be to me. So it's a timely thing.
Well, let me bring up the conversation I had with a younger dentist. She's just out 5 years or maybe a little less, and she's very frustrated about her level of dentistry and her ability to execute procedures, and but doing great dentistry, but just only 5 years out, and seeing dentistry on social media platforms, especially Instagram, that is really just out of this world. And she brought up that she's been told maybe some of this dentistry isn't actual, maybe it's been manipulated. And, we had a little conversation, and I was thinking afterwards. And so I would just want to start with that, and then I'll tell you sort of what my thoughts were afterwards. So what are your thoughts about this beautiful dentistry that we're seeing in Instagram and how it can affect our beloved colleagues and ourselves?
Yeah. I recorded a reel. This was a couple nights ago. And for whatever reason, you know what it was? I recorded a reel. I was literally sitting on my swing out in my front yard. And it was essentially, whoever needs to hear this, just know that if you're not doing all on fours constantly or full mouth rehabs, if you're doing like regular general dentistry, that doesn't mean you're less than. It doesn't mean you're a bad dentist.
You're a loser if you're not doing
exactly,
all on fours every day.
Right? Exactly. So, and then I said, whatever you're seeing on, social media isn't real life. I would say, Instagram dentistry, where you see these just absolutely aspirational. I have no beef with aspirational dentistry. And a lot of times the dentistry is really good. The photography is amazing. In other words,
amazing.
Like the softbox and I got tons of respect for people who do tissue management as well as I see on Instagram. Let's be perfectly honest.
No doubt.
I don't know if I have the skill set even to do that, but I also don't know if I have the time to do that, because I actually have to pay my bills and stuff. And I just think to myself, if I wanted to do that, I would have to take so much more time. I don't even know if I could do it even like just the photography aspect, because I don't know. I get a lot of ads on Instagram for dental photography equipment of all sorts too, by the way. So,
sure,
of
course.
So for those of us that are scrolling through dental porn, they also, Instagram knows we're scrolling through it and is trying to sell us the tools of dental porn as we speak. So bottom line is, it's like, I see it. I think it's great, but I also am like, I don't think it's very realistic for most of us to be able to deliver like that. Like on some level, I don't know how much of that is Photoshopped. I don't know how much I suspect a lot of it is improved upon. I think there's some really great dentistry being done there. Yes. But I guess the thing about it is, I'm not sure that that's a super realistic thing for regular dentists. And that's who my audience is like regular dentists.
I think that's what most of us are. And I think you're right. I think it's aspirational, and I think that's awesome. And I'm going to take it at face value, and I'm going to believe that this dentistry is legit and actual, yep, and it's unmanipulated. Yep. And as you said, you know, beyond the photography, right? And obviously, and many people who are posting these beautiful cases, they share with how they're doing their photography, and they have sort of a photography studio set up around their dental chair, and which is awesome. But if you're going to run a dental practice, if you're going to have hygiene checks, if you're going to be seeing emergency, if you're going to be doing that stuff, I want to see you have a photo studio set up while you're trying to run your two hygiene practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and do, you know, everyday dentistry. So I think it's awesome. And I think it's incredible. And some of the skill levels out there, I'm still blown away by. I mean, there's some phenomenal dentists, and like you said, the tissue management and just the beautiful execution of dentistry. But it doesn't mean that we can't be thrilled with the dentistry that we're providing on a day-to-day basis for our patients.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what I've found is that when I prepare crowns, sometimes my patient's gums bleed. Can you imagine such a thing?
Don't take photos and put it on Instagram.
Exactly. I think I've told you this before. I wanted to start an anonymous Instagram channel of like really horrifying dental photos, whether it's super bloody gums or or like the biggest honking, you know, rotten amalgam you've ever seen, but take it with soft boxes. Like have the most beautiful photography of the worst conditions ever, like a huge calculus bridge on the lingual of the lower anteriors, but with like softbox shadows and all that stuff. Because on some level, there's the dentistry that's amazing that they do. And then there's also the photography, the presentation, the ability to document, which again is super, I respect it. But I think the biggest problem is when I see the stuff on social media, there is an implicit suggestion that this is how we should be doing it. In other words, if you're not doing X, you're less than, whether it's the softbox presentation of, you know, a roundhouse of veneers or, you know, every patient that walks in the door is an all on four or whatever. Like, I think, unfortunately, no one says that. They don't say you're horrible if you don't do this. But I think the implicit suggestion of social media dentistry in general is that if you're not doing this, you're less than. What do you think about that? Am I crazy, or is that what you kind of read into it? Whether, especially when you're not, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the one who's psychotic and needs to get a life, and I shouldn't be reading stuff into that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, for that little Instagram thing that you want to do with the bloody gums and all that, I'm thinking about lip art, where actually you're taking photos of people with like herpetic lesions.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? You know.
Yes. Yeah.
Cold sore. Right. Let's really get really nice and pretty.
A big canker sore on the.
Yeah. I'm all in.
Mucosa. Yeah. Like. But again, I don't want to see it unless it's all shadowed and beautiful, and maybe even like
right, it's got to be beautifully documented.
Yeah, and maybe even like having someone with a big canker sore on their lip biting into a strawberry or something. Like that. You know, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I've had this idea for a while. I've never executed because, frankly, I'm just not good enough at photography to even come up with the joke. Honestly,
I think maybe dribbling some like lemon juice over top of that canker sore, right? Just for effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the facial expression too.
Exactly.
You know, the thing that I've been thinking about is, and then I saw your post or your reel on this topic. And that's why I said, well, I got to get you on here. But, you know, I'm from Detroit. I'm a Michigan guy like yourself. I'm from Detroit, and I grew up. And for those who watch basketball and NBA, when I was in Detroit, that's when the Pistons, Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, when their hot streak. Yeah, exactly.
We had a couple world championships. We had Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman. We had these, you know, and our arch enemy was none other than the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So I moved to Chicago right at the end of the Pistons reign and then into the Jordan era.
Yeah.
And so I was never a Jordan fan. I just was never, I couldn't root for him because I was a Pistons guy. But I will say this. I think most people, certainly a significant number of people, say that Jordan was certainly the best in his era. And there'll be others who, you know, the people question whether he's the best ever, but certainly the best in his era. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is he may have been the best in his era, but the other players didn't hang up their hats and walk away because yes. Jordan had skills that they didn't. You didn't see Clyde Drexler hanging it up. You didn't yes. see John Stockton saying, well, crap, I can't play basketball because Michael Jordan's so good.
That's such a good analogy. Yeah. Yeah.
They just went out and they played their best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what I was thinking about. And I wish the advice that I had. And I said it a little bit, but I think I should have been a little bit stronger about, you know, we're here to execute at the highest level that we can. I'm in awe of some of the dentistry that I see on social media and that I get to see, you know, when go to presentations. I mean, it's phenomenal. And you could give me all day. You could give me all day to try to do what they created, and I couldn't do it. They're Michael Jordans, man. They can jump from outside the free throw line and make it all the way to the hoop. And I don't care how much time I practice doing that. I could never do that. And so I got to be happy with the skills I have, and I have to continue to be happy with the skills that I have as long as that we're bringing, you know, happiness and comfort and joy to our patients and to ourselves. And so that was my thought on this, is like, first of all, give ourselves a break, little peace, and then just recognize there's going to be people who have these really unworldly skills and celebrate them.
And to be perfectly frank, social media and visual internet media, that's where they're going to shine. So these people who are really skilled and talented, they're going to use that to their advantage because, you know, if they're doing that kind of photography, if they're doing that kind of dentistry, why not show it off at that point? I mean, I don't hold it. Like, I think Jason Smithson is one of the best dentists in the world, but also I think he's a great guy. And I think he's super realistic about, he doesn't say it, but his work says it for him. He's amazing on a level that I can learn from him. And I don't have to feel bad that by learning from him, I'm not necessarily able to do what he's able to do, but maybe next time I run into something, I'll be able to do it better than what I could have done before. It's
absolutely.
And Jason is really funny. He's quite modest considering how good he is. But yet, you know, he does a lot of the same kind of photography that we're talking about, that sort of thing. I think that's fine. I like your analogy of the Michael Jordans, and not everyone hung up their basketball shoes just because Jordan was on the court. I like that. Now, here's a different angle, an angle that maybe bothers me even more than the Instagram dental porn, because I think sometimes, even back from Dental Town, I think it has changed the way that dentists look at some procedures. I think, and this is, the implant guys are going to be pissed at me for saying this, but I guess I don't care. I think that a lot of social media dentistry has made people less likely to try and save teeth. I think there's a certain glamour to edentulating and chopping off half the alveolar bone in an arch, because everyone has seen these cool surgeries, and frankly, they get paid really well for it. And so I think teeth that, I mean, how many times have you seen Instagram dentistry of a big full arch case that's implants, you know, where you look at those teeth and you're like, man, you know, those teeth, they didn't look that bad to me. Like, I guess that's one option, but in a lot of times they'll describe it as, well, this patient was just tired of having, you know, of going through the cycle of, you know, crowns and fillings and crowns and losing teeth and all that stuff. And so we were just going to fix. And I think to myself, I don't know that and you and I have talked about this before. I don't know that the patient can even really understand and give informed consent for that project. But the other thing is more than anything, is the dentist that sees that day in and day out on their social media feeds, does that affect the way that they think about patient care? And the fact that social media has been around for a while, are we now looking at things differently? And I'm just going to say it, maybe wrongly, because of what we see. Just because we see a lot of that doesn't mean it's the right thing or it's the thing that we should be doing or whatever. That's why I did that reel. I'm like, you know, if you're not doing all on fours constantly or full mouth rehabs or all these big things, people need general dentistry. In fact, most people need the kind of general dentistry that most of us deliver most of the time. But if you look at some of the feeds on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you'd think, God, everyone that walks in the door is going to be an all on four. You know, I think it, depending on what kind of, and of course we choose the stuff we like to see. If you're following a bunch of surgeries, so you're, feed is going to be constant stuff of that. And so my thing is like, and it's fine, you get to pick what you want to pick, but I worry that it changes the conception of what the right choices are for people sometimes. I'm saying a lot. Does that soak in? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, I think there's like prejudice bias that happens. So my algorithm feed gives me literally, I mean, I get very little surgery. I get some surgery, but most of it is going to be direct resin bonding and aesthetic cases, a lot of rubber dam stuff. And so, you know, so I'm being fed the information that I want to see. So it's not unlike if you're super ultra conservative, you're going to be watching Fox and you're just going to be getting all that feed versus say a CNN feed. And I think some of that is like, so for me, I get inspired and I see people using rubber dams for every procedure. And I there was a point where I had some guilt, like I'm not cementing my porcelain veneers under a rubber dam.
I do. The rubber dam thing is definitely because I'd love to say it's because it won't work here, but you know what? You can't really say that because you can find someone with just exquisite isolation in every situation. So it's on some level, I just choose what's maybe practical for me versus, you know, I mean, you see what's crazy is some of the Middle Eastern guys in particular, man, those guys can isolate a root.
Unreal.
It's crazy. It's the craziest thing. And I got nothing but mad respect for them, but I'm in my office. I guess I feel like, I don't know how compromised my result is necessarily. If I don't like the classic is the relatively deep class five, you know, restoration on a molar. I'm like, you know, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can do it as like they can, and more power to them. I mean, how much Teflon can I pack around this? I see that it is a spectacular thing, but I don't necessarily do it.
And I think you just have to come to terms, or at least I had to come to terms with what works in my practice, what works in my hands. I mean, I love rubber dam. I use it for posteriors all the time, nonstop. But when I'm getting to anteriors, there's a reason why I don't like it. Yeah. And part of the issue is also for the time that I'm taking to do things, and maybe it would go faster with a rubber dam.
Yeah.
There's, you know, that's certainly a portion of it. But, you know, having a patient in a rubber dam for 5 hours or 4 hours while I'm doing all that, it's a lot to ask.
I was a boards patient for a classmate of mine, Western Boards, and I was in a rubber dam probably for about that long. And I literally was, and worse than that, I was walking around with a tray,
right,
my mouth wide open with a rubber dam on and stuff. I'm like, you know, it can be done. I'm not going to say it was comfortable, but, you know, I got a free ride out to Oregon. So, you know, I wasn't going to complain too hard. But, yeah,
right.
it is, there's a time and a place for everything. Let's just say that.
And I think we have to excuse ourselves for not being able to deliver at the level that we're seeing. And so I think it's celebrate it. And again, I'm going to take everything at face value and say, this is the dentistry that you're doing. And I'm going to believe that it's actual until I was to be shown otherwise. But I'm going to say, this is just beautiful dentistry. And I got to believe it. Some of this stuff is just so well executed. But that doesn't mean that I'm not serving my patients at a high level. It doesn't mean that I can't, that I should hang up my dental drill and walk away from the game.
Yeah.
Just because Michael Jordan's on the court.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And the other thing is every patient, like that wonder dentist can't be everyone's dentist. There's just
no,
don't have enough time in their schedule. They don't have, you know, and it just so happens that maybe patients needing something that Jason Smithson might be the best person for walks in the door in my practice in Saginaw and is not planning on flying to the UK. Right. So we got to do the best we can for them. You know what I'm saying?
They don't want to fly to Dubai and, you know, so we'll make it work. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think we just have to accept that. And that's the conversation that I had is that, you know, we are where we are in each of our careers and each of our, on our paths. And I think we have to, I think, continually try to get better. I think that's critical. I think that's what makes us professionals is trying to continue to learn and try and grow and try and get better. I'm a Michigan guy. Jim Harbaugh says 1% better every day. And I think that, you know, that would be ideal, but we want to try and get better every day and try and deliver better results. But it doesn't mean that we just have to be respectful of where we are in our careers and the skills, inherent skills that we have, and that we just may not be the next Michael Jordan, and we just have to be able to sleep with that and be okay with that. As much as it pains me to say Michael Jordan's the best, being a Detroit Pistons fan.
It's a very apt analogy. Now, the other thing about social media is this, and I want to get your take on this. So remember that social media is the classic example of you judging your insides by everyone else's outsides, you know, because they're showing their good stuff. And the question comes down to, like, it doesn't feel quite as great when, you know, you're looking at all these amazing, you know, anterior composite veneer cases or all these things. And that's just coming up on your feed constantly. And you've got an 87-year-old woman with dementia that you're doing a crown margin repair on the distal of 15. And you're not feeling that great about the dentistry you did, but it was the best you could do for the situation and all that stuff. I'm like, if you compare your regular to the stuff they're putting out there, it's never going to turn out good for you. So understand that it would be really nice to see that those people sometimes see some patients that are a little bit more basic and a little bit more compromised. That's the one thing you don't see. And I will fault them for that a little bit, because the people that are putting up a lot of really nicely photographed dentistry, they're not putting it up of the shitty class two on 19 or 18, right? Or, you know, like, they're just not doing that. I mean, there's maybe some of that, but not much, because it's, you know, when I'm going to put something up, I'm going to put something up that's prettier, that's nice. Like, you know, if I put photos of my farm up there, it's the majestic horse picture, not a pile of shit, you know, and I mean, that's real. I'm not, you know, I think everyone has to admit that, you know, you're always on social media, you're putting your best face forward most of the time. And so understand too, that everyone does that. So even the people that do this amazing dentistry, they've probably got some on their camera roll that they're not as proud of, and they're not putting that stuff up there. That's very possible as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. One of the, you know, you bring that up, and one of the things I really admire about Frank Spear when he was, in his heyday of lecturing, he showed a lot of, well, he still does when he's out there. He shows his failures.
Yeah.
And you, in a presentation, you can do that when you're lecturing, because you can talk about the failures and what you learned from the failure and how you overcame that. You really can't do that in social media, because so many dentists use social media to attract patients.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what patients don't want to see is failures, right? Yeah. Patients think that what we do is easy and that we should have 100% success, right?
So true.
Yeah. They really do. So while you can get more reality in a presentation, and I think you have such a better, deeper conversation about the actual treatment, the reality is in social media, you can't get away with it. It would be harmful to your brand, and you'd have to, unless your brand is, I'm going to just be out there and I'm going to share with what I'm doing and what I'm learning along my path, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're seeing from some of these just incredibly highly skilled professionals.
Yeah. It's like, and the other thing is maybe I am particularly sensitive to, you know, this excellent dentistry, and, you know, you don't have to compare all the time. Sometimes you can just enjoy it for what it is, which is like, man, that person really knows what they're doing, or they really spent the time to document and all that. So that's, you know, more power and great. I think that's okay.
You know, for me, when I'm going on Instagram, first of all, I got to be in the mood, because if I'm mentally not in a healthy place, I'm not going on, because I had a hard day, the patient beat me down, I had a case that didn't go well, or, you know, whatever it is. And so what I don't need is to be reminded that maybe I'm not as good as who I want to be. But number two, when I do go on, I do it as almost like Netflix. I'm doing it for entertainment. I'm doing it because I wanted to just see excellence. I want to see what's possible, and then use that as fuel to say, all right, let's get back in there and let's fight another round.
That's a healthy way to look at it. Unfortunately, you know, what happens to me is a lot of times if my brain is in neutral, or if I'm waiting in a waiting room or something like that, a lot of times that's my mental state is not guaranteed at those points. So I might be running across stuff, and you know, on some level, when you're doing that, it's like you're self-administering poison at that point.
Yeah.
Right. And you got to really check yourself, because it's just, have you found yourself, I always threaten to do it, but I have to say, I haven't really been able to do it. I've threatened to go off social media for a little, to have a social media cleanse kind of thing, you know, and I never really been able to do it. I justify it by, oh, I got to get the podcast stuff out there and all that. But you know what? I can totally do the podcast with no social media whatsoever. My biggest thing is that I'm in contact with a lot of friends, you know, I don't have a lot of friends in person here. my friends tend to be online friends. So it's more the people that I interact with, you know, whether it's on a, you know, a messaging app or whatever. So I'm on there a lot of times to keep track of my friends. And then like the doom scrolling is sort of a side effect of the fact that that's kind of where I spend my time to interact with friends. It's a little weird. And I mean, I'm a 51-year-old man. I will say this. I don't have TikTok. I don't look at TikTok. I'm an Instagram guy mostly and some Facebook. But it is a weird thing how automatic it can become. You said something that you try hard to, you want to be in a good mind space before you go on. That's a really smart way to do it. I have to say, I have to admit that I don't do that very well, to tell you the truth. I'm on a lot of times when I'm maybe not in a good mind space. I need to be more conscious of that.
Yeah, that's important for me. I mean, we're all vulnerable to that, I think. I mean, I'd have a hard time believing that there are people who are not, but it's, you know, our mental health is in dentistry. We're getting beaten down generally on a daily basis. I mean, we have our great days, right? And I love what I do, and I'm so appreciative for what I get to do. But man, it's a difficult profession, physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to do is make sure that we're building ourselves up. And if for some, if going on Instagram or going on your social media gives you fuel and it makes you feel good, then that's awesome. For me, it can have the opposite effect. So I just have to, you know, I have to watch it.
Yeah. No, I think those are some good tips. Also being aware of when you're in that bad space and you're starting to feel that way. Cause the other thing is somehow it's like carbs, man. Once you start doing it, you keep scrolling. There's more, you know.
Yeah, just, isn't that the truth?
It's not gonna fix itself. You kind of have to detach yourself when you're in that spot.
You ever have those those puffed salty pea things? They sell them in Costco, and those like 18-gallon jug bags, and they're like, oh my god, those things. You have one, and then two. Next thing you know, you've eaten half a bag.
Yeah,
and you're still scrolling through Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Black licorice is like crack for me. My mother-in-law for Easter got me like a 4-pound bag of black licorice laces, which are literally, they're like the best thing in the world. And frankly, they're terrible for me. Not only do I have no self-control, I'm diabetic, man. Like that's the last thing I eat. And I made myself sick with them on Easter because I have no self-control. I'm not that different with social media, to be perfectly honest. There are times when it's the same way. So it's a matter of really being aware. And some people probably are like, I don't think my wife is particularly affected in the same way that I am by this stuff. So it's just be aware of how it affects you. And like you said, your mindset before you ever start. So I don't know. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think they're super smart. The way they've used it or they've changed it so that we communicate with each other through the app. So it does force you on the app because you've got to check your messages.
Every single thing in social media is very intentional too. Remember,
they're so smart.
This on purpose. And because we're actually simple creatures on some level, we all sort of behave the same. It is true. We are. And it's no wonder that we're so affected by this stuff. But I look at almost everything. Almost everything in our culture right now is different than it was 20 years ago because of social media. I mean, if you look at the way politics is now, it's so toxic. And I do believe it's because of social media, and everyone not only can voice their opinion, but like feels like they have to voice their opinion. And they, you know, I do feel like the Instagram dentistry and stuff is a little bit the same way too. Like if you're not putting it out there, then you're not really participating and stuff. And like, that is absolutely not true. Like you can be an excellent dentist and not participate in that at all, because I know some that are like that. I do feel like it's really manipulated us in so many different ways. And as I say this, the next natural statement is, why the hell do you still do it? Why? And I don't know. I'd love to not do it, except that's where all my friends are. That's where everyone is. That's where the interaction happens. I mean, podcasting is interesting because technically it's a kind of social media too, in the sense that it's not like the radio, because you have to seek it out. In other words, if someone has downloaded the Very Dental podcast, they didn't do it by accident, because you kind of have to choose to download it at some point, whether or not you've subscribed to the podcast, whether or not you've, you know, I want to say on Apple devices, you might have to subscribe, and they're not always automatically downloaded, but they kind of are. Where the software I use on Android, you can subscribe and not have it automatically downloaded. And so, like, you still have to make the effort to
absolutely
get it. Okay, that's the social media part of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. like when I have a download, I know someone made the effort at some point to go listen to this. So that's social media is sort of the same way. You can't, you know, you have to do the doom scrolling for it to affect you. I don't know. It's just sort of a funny thing how it's changed the way we look at things. It started for me back in 2002 on Dentaltown. I feel like when in those early days, it changed so much of the way that I practiced dentistry, but in a good way. Like, I feel like people were putting, like, I didn't do that much posterior composite. I didn't do it, like, I didn't know stuff. And I felt like I really learned stuff brand new from Dentaltown in the early days. I don't necessarily feel that way now. It's more repetition of stuff that I already kind of know, and I'm probably not doing as well as I could or something like that. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I think the format is not set up for teaching, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in Dentaltown, it was a Facebook exchange where there was people would post and then people would comment and yeah. Well, it wasn't on Facebook. It was their own website, right? Dentaltown.
Yeah. It was a separate thing. It was a bulletin board.
Yeah. So then
which was interactive, but not, I hesitate to say, I mean, it was very interactive, and you just like Facebook, you'd post stuff and you'd wait to see what people thought of your post, you know, mm-hmm. But I mean, they didn't have the thumbs up thing early on. They do now apparently, but like that whole, like the whole fishing for likes thing is very much a more modern social media thing where the interaction is like people liked it or people didn't like it. Where I felt like, you know, Dentaltown, people would start a thread, and if you were interested in the thread, you could dig in. But I mean, it wasn't in your face necessarily. I don't know. I mean, and maybe, you know, the technology, like you just said, is like, they've got our number, and everything that they've done to improve it is, you know, is more for the dopamine rush than learning good dental techniques. You exactly. know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they designed Dentaltown to go directly into my brain in the way social media is. That's what I'm saying.
I would agree with that. Obviously, this is just part of our society, our community.
Yeah.
And we just have to be able to continue in our pursuit for excellent dentistry at whatever level we can, given the situation, the practice we're in, all the other obstacles that can come into our lives and all, and just sort of celebrate it and celebrate what we're able to do, and then celebrate the ones that are doing incredible stuff and, yep. and give applause and, yep. and not say we're not good enough just because there's someone who has just phenomenal skills, and celebrate it. And mm-hmm. that's my thought, and take it as art, and take mm-hmm. it as just really just people who have just wonderful success. And then if you're young and you want to do that, then learn how they're doing it, and then mm-hmm. get better and continue on. And if you're old like me too, you can still continue to learn, though it's a little sure. bit harder as I'm getting older. But yeah, push yourself, right? If you see that, push yourself, say this can be done, and then let's find the path to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And don't hate yourself as you go through the process to learn.
Yep. I mean, it's social media can be a useful tool. It can, you know, it can also drive you crazy, but like take the control maybe is the solution. If you're finding it negative, then step back from it a little bit. It's always going to be there, and there are plenty of positives. I wouldn't ever say, well, I wish there was never such a thing, because there's so much to be learned and so much to be inspired by, honestly. You just got to kind of be in the right mental state, I think.
I agree. Well, listen, Dental Online Trainers, I hope you enjoyed our little conversation on social media by a couple of guys who are maybe probably not the experts to talk about the ins and outs of social media, but we can certainly talk about how we can see how it can affect.
Both of our ages are probably a couple standard deviations above where Instagram and TikTok are aiming. That's okay, though. That's all right. We're still affected.
My 26-year-old daughter's her job is social media for the marketing firm. And so if we want to know about social media, she's the one to ask. I'm the guy That's who right. can just tell you what, you know, maybe some of the slippery slopes you got to be careful of. Yeah,
exactly.
Alan, anything that you wanted to add on to our conversation before we say goodbye?
Not really. I think we covered it pretty well. And it's one of these things where this has been an ongoing thing for me too. So it's an evolution about it. I think we did okay with that, actually.
We waded through the forest, or waded through the weeds.
Yeah.
and give a couple thoughts. Well, listen, thanks again for joining us. If you're interested in finding more about Alan Mead, please check out his multiple podcasts. Alan, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Easiest way to get to the podcast is just if you're on an iPhone, look, do a search for Very Dental. That's the feed. You'll find it, and we do a lot of different stuff there, and it's entertaining. As I've always told you before, I think podcasting needs to be entertaining first, and you know, informative second. So we try and keep it light and funny and fun to listen to. So feel free to go check that out. And actually, the cool thing is I'm going to be working more with Dennis too in the dental online training. Long story short, I've gone to 3 days clinical a week. At least I'm trying that. So I'm going to have Mondays to myself. So I'm going to start by, I'm going to be taking more of these courses with Dennis because I am really setting the time aside for it. I think that that's going to work really well for me. I think that's going to work. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited for you to go 3 days a week. I'm trying to do the same. And man, it's hard to get that fourth day off the schedule. I book it out, and then there's someone who's got to get something done. And
we decided on it six plus months ago, and then we just waited. We changed it 6 months down the line, and that's just what happened. So
yeah, I got to do that.
I'm still getting used to it, by the way. It's weird, and I sometimes go, "Is this the right thing to do, or whatever?" But I've been more on top of the working on the business stuff than I ever have been in my whole career, because I'm going in on Mondays anyhow and I'm just getting that stuff done. So I can't argue with it so far. It's pretty good.
I was just at a study club meeting with a young dentist yesterday, Kevin Reardon, and he's seen patients 3 days a week and he's working on his practice and working on his professional growth the other days. And so as we're talking, he said, I'm just working 3 days a week. And it's like, no, you're working way more than 3 days a week. You're
fair
just
enough.
Seeing patients.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. You're just seeing, that's because the other stuff's real work too. You got to, where are you going to do the stuff to work on your business and work on yourself if you don't carve out some time to do that?
I'm blown away by how quickly the days that I'm in the office working on stuff go by. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Like I sometimes go, I'll be done with that. And I go, no, everything always takes way longer than you think it does. So it's actually, I'm thinking to myself, how did I do this before when I was seeing patients that day? It's kind of amazing, but so far it's been pretty gratifying.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have Alan sort of helping us out with the DOT stuff, and we're looking forward to future collaborations. So thank you so much. And check them out on Instagram, Alan. How do they find you on Instagram?
Oh, Very Dental Podcast. And I think, let me look at it. Yeah, it's Very _ Dental _ Podcast for those that are looking.
Very good. Well, listen, Dental Online Trainers, thanks for hanging out with us and spending a few minutes while we sort of just chat a little bit about the world and social media and how it affects dentistry and our little thoughts on it. So until next time, we look forward to seeing you at our future courses and seeing you at our future Sharecasts. And until next time, yours for better dentistry, I'm Dr. Dennis Hartley. Well, thanks so much for listening or viewing our Sharecast today. If you enjoy this and you want to get more information from Dental Online Training, then check us out at dothandson.com. That's one word, dothandson.com. Now, as a reminder, DOT has so many other great opportunities for your learning. We have our Wine and Unwind monthly webinars where we engage real time with our viewers as we bring in leaders throughout the dental industry to bring you up-to-date information and answer your questions. We have our monthly coffee and donut study club sessions where our participants bring in cases and we treatment plan these cases together to help you bring great treatment to your patients. We have our live virtual workshops where our dental online trainers perform the same techniques from their kits as I'm doing from the comfort of their own home or office. We have our blogs and we have endless selection of our hands-on pre-recorded technique courses to help you improve the clinical dentistry they can provide for your patients. That's right. With our on-demand courses, you do these hands-on exercises when the time is right for you. So check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Dental Online Training. And hey, be sure to share this with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from this Sharecast and everything that DOT has to offer. And now, how about one of those coveted 5-star ratings? Please go to your site and help us by getting the word out to others. And we'd welcome one of those wonderful 5-star ratings. This episode was created with special help from Claire O'Neill. It was edited by Ashley Dixon Ellison and with original music by Chris Peterson. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb, yours for better dentistry.